Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter, at Real Cody Mallory. I am once again joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar. That's at Anthony Dittmar underscore on Twitter. How's it going, Anthony?
Not very good. wasn't very enjoyable.
Yeah, we'll get into your curse later, but let's wait a little bit. And also joined by Joe Farrow. That's at the Joe Farrow on Twitter. Joe, I'm sorry you had to sit with Anthony yesterday at the game. Gave you a bad look. But besides that, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Barclays was electric last night. Very fun to be there. Couldn't hit a big shot. We'll get into that. But you know how it is. It was fun, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a guest on. But I'm excited to bring on our latest guest, Christian McKenna. You most likely follow his Nets account on Instagram. It's Nets Reports. Thank you for coming on, Christian.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Always excited to bring on some passionate Nets fans. There's only about eight of us, they say. So whenever we connect with a few of us, it's always nice.
Yeah, Christian's 20,000 definitely says otherwise, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Don't short of it. I think it's 22,000, Joe.
I know. I was just going ballpark. Relax.
Everyone counts when they say we're limited. But anyways, before we dive into the crazy season, the game last night, everything that's been going on, Christian, why don't you just start with telling the listeners a little bit about yourself? So maybe personal, life, about your Nets page, whatever you want to say. All you.
So my name's Christian, also known as Nets Reports. I started my account right after our 2019 season on April 26th of 2019. Fast forward almost 3 years later, you know, we have a super team, in quotes. And I'm around 23,000 followers. And Joe is actually one of my first followers. So, I mean, he's one of my OGs. But I'm currently a freshman at Seton Hall University, majoring in journalism with hopes to eventually become a writer on the Nets.
Nice, man. Sorry about Seton Hall. You're not a UConn fan, so you don't get to watch good collegiate basketball. But
Seton Hall hired Shaheen Holloway, though, so that's big for them.
True. Yeah, that's going to be nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, 23,000 since 2019. I mean, that's damn impressive. Very impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What made you start? I'm just curious. Like, just because your passion for the Nets, or like it was just something that you did and it kind of caught fire? How did you get to the, where you are now? Like, how did you build to 23,000? Like, what did it take?
So, I had a fan page on the New York Giants before I had a Nets page. And it was going pretty well, but it wasn't really anything crazy. And then I just stopped posting about them. But I always wanted to have a following on the Nets, and they've never really, I'm not gonna lie, they weren't really good before the 2019 season. So it was gonna be difficult to start a fan page and, you know, keep staying engaged with it. But you know, after I knew we were getting Kyrie and KD. I just knew it. I saw it as a perfect opportunity to, you know, start something special.
Perfect timing, honestly. Yeah, you couldn't. I felt like a lot of Nets fans had hope. I was cautiously optimistic personally because, like, I heard all the people saying the Knicks. I thought KD maybe Golden State. I figured we had a better chance of Kyrie than KD. I didn't really know their package deal until, like, later on in that season. But, like you said, there was something that I felt like in that playoff series against Philadelphia that I felt like after we stole that game one, it kind of put us on the map. And even though we probably weren't going to win that series, like, obviously I wanted to go a little longer than five games, maybe push it to six or seven. I knew that kind of put us on the map, and I was hoping we can get someone. Even if it, there was a point in time where Nets fans were like, let's get Tobias Harris or Julius Randle.
Right.
Like, honestly.
What a wild turn of events.
But, like, I remember just being, like, on Instagram. I didn't have my, like, dedicated Twitter at the time to, like, really diving into Nets analysis. And I was, like, more on Instagram than I was on Twitter. And I believe it was like Elite Nets or something like that on Instagram, like shouted out Christian's page. I followed him and it was like, I would always just comment under his stuff talking about the Nets, and he was always super cool to me. And then we ended up talking, we had ran into each other at the beach last summer or something, or like two summers ago, something like that. Like, I'm very proud of you, Christian. It's been really cool to see.
I appreciate that, man. And I didn't even know you had your own thing on Twitter until I actually made my Nets Reports Twitter.
Yeah.
And I see you on Twitter. You got your own account, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying my best. You know how it be.
Not all of the real Cody Mallory's on Twitter.
True. Not everyone get to my
level, you don't want to follow that guy.
No, I got you after this.
But Christian, I gotta ask you before we go into your thoughts on the entire season, I just want to hear your thoughts on the whole James Harden situation.
Oh god, this might lose me a couple hundred followers if I get really that deep into it. But
I'm gonna throw you right into the fire. I gotta hear it right away. It's kind of the biggest storyline Nets have had all year.
I mean, he's a quitter. That's really the bottom line. I mean, you could understand from his point of view, you know, Kevin Durant's injured the time, Kyrie's part-time. But, I mean, like, bottom line, we're still the best team in the world when it all comes together. So, I mean, eventually Kevin Durant was going to come back. If Kyrie was still part-time and it was just James, Kevin Durant, part-time Kyrie, that should have itself been enough for James Harden. But I mean, it feels like this whole time, you know, he wanted to be in Philly, he wanted to be with Daryl Morey, and he's just a quitter. I mean, we kind of set everything up for him. We ran Jeff Green at the five just so he could function to his full strength. I mean, I this is gonna sound harsh, but I literally hope the Sixers get smacked in the first round. I mean whether it's against us or not. I mean, it's great to see them lose. I'm literally praying on their downfall. Like,
yeah,
the Sixers are easily just my least favorite. They always have been, but, you know, now that they have James Harden. And I understand, like, the fans that are defending him. He was really good for us last year. Like, I was praising that he was the MVP, he was the best player in the world. And I mean, ever since the rule change, he comes in this season just completely out of shape, saying he's basically playing into conditioning or whatever he was saying. I don't know. And he just, I really don't think he wants a championship that bad. So, I mean, us trading him away for, you know, a solid package, which is eventually going to be Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, and Andre Drummond. I think we really got something good in that.
Yeah, and we got those two first-round picks, which
– Right, exactly.
I mean, I don't know if we got all of the capital back that we gave up for him. I think it was, what, like five picks, some swaps, obviously.
I believe it was three first-rounders and two pick swaps. And
two swaps.
Along with Karis, Jarrett, and, like, who else did we throw in there? Like, fucking Taurean Prince. Like,
Taurean Prince.
Yeah.
Cody.
So, I mean, given like the circumstance of, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's this year, he even on Philly, like if you look at Philly, watch their games, like he's not the same player. I don't know if he's still out of shape, if it's the hamstring, like whatever it is. But Sean Marks, in my opinion, I think Joe and Anthony would agree with me. He did a tremendous job getting everything that he did. And Andre Drummond was just such a sneaky, great addition for the Nets. And he filled such a void, even if it's only 20 to 25 minutes a game. And to get Seth Curry to fill in for Joe Harris, who they lost for the season. Like, the Nets are the 9 seed now. But in my opinion, they can still win a title. I don't care what seed they are, as long as they get into the playoffs.
100%.
That's the big thing. And Sean Marks, like we said, we were talking about this last episode, that like Sean Marks like will do whatever he can to make his stars happy, and which is why we said Kyrie could still sign 2 more contracts with the Nets and retire a Net, which we think he will. So it's just like Sean Marks is just going to do whatever he possibly can to keep his guys happy. And Kevin Durant obviously is happy. He signed his extension already. And now he's going to have Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons locked up at least for probably the next 4 years after this one. So good on Sean Marks. It's just the guy's phenomenal.
100%.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I feel like Andre Drummond was a part of, like, no one talked about in the trade beforehand. Like, it was always, like, Thibault, Curry. We heard a little bit Danny Green at one point. Like, I was, like, we said a lot of rotating names. I feel like when the trade went down, we saw Drummond in there. It was kind of like an afterthought. I know last year, like, Nets fans wanted Drummond after he left the Cavaliers. I think he was on a buyout, and he went to the Lakers. And then he ended up playing really bad in the Lakers, and kind of, like, we're kind of like, oh, thank God we avoided that. But I feel like he really resurrected his career this year, like, playing behind Joel and being in very limited minutes, and especially now with the Nets, like, playing the starting five role. Like, we saw it yesterday. Like, he was just, like, gobbling up boards. He could get to the rim. He was getting some of his shots in. He's probably the best player for the Nets last night, to be honest.
He was.
Yeah.
It was literally the Andre Drummond show. Me and Anthony were sitting there like, why the hell is this happening?
You know why it happened, guys? That's all the shit-talking did about UConn. That's what you deserve. Watch a UConn player be the best player on the Brooklyn Nets last night.
Oh, my
God. But, I mean, I was when the first trade first went through, everyone was bummed. They want Maxi, they want Thibault. And I tweeted out and I put, like, Drummond's going to be a bigger impact for the Nets to compete this year. And maybe if they sign him next year or whatever, than Thibault would be. And I got hammered for saying that, absolutely hammered. And it looks like I might have been right for once, Joe. Maybe once.
Yeah, maybe one time.
But I mean, anyways, Christian, what are your thoughts on the entire season as a whole, besides the James Harden situation? I mean, we've gone through some highs, a lot of lows. Now we're kind of back to a high, but kind of not after last night. Like, what are your thought takes on this the entire season so far?
I'm not going to lie. Even at the beginning of the season when we were the first seed, like, you know, I had higher expectations for us, even with the fact that Kyrie was part-time. But once I saw James Harden, you know, not really – and again, this is not a shot at him, but the bottom line is that he was not playing to what we needed him to play at. And once I kind of realized that it wasn't just a slump and it was more really like this is how he is now, it kind of made me think that, you know, we weren't seen as the top team in the world anymore. The Suns are playing at an insane level. And, you know, the Warriors at the time were playing really well. We got smacked by the Warriors the first time we played them. But it was really, like, disappointing. I'm not going to lie. This season has been pretty disappointing. It's definitely not what we thought it would be. But things are looking really, really good right now. I mean, whatever's happened in the past this season, I don't really care about. We're a completely different team. We have a completely different roster. And it's hard to judge what this season is because we haven't even seen, you know, our Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And he has insane size. Run him at the small ball 5 and Ben Simmons. I'm really excited for him. And I really think when he plays, we cannot be beaten. So, I mean, again, like you said, as it up, it's up, ups and downs. My God. But overall, even though we're the ninth seed, I still really like our chances at a championship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're all in the same boat with that. I just wanted to. So Steve Nash said the other day, that like if Ben Simmons is ready come playoff time and he hasn't played any regular season games, he has no problem just throwing him into the fire in the postseason. What do you think about that, Christian?
I mean, I don't want to bash Ben Simmons, but the stigma around him is that he kind of gets nervous in the playoffs. So, I mean, say he has a few bad games in the playoffs, like this, his confidence is crushed. And, I mean, the playoffs is a whole different beast. Like, we've seen it last year with the Nets. They completely turned it up in the playoffs. Like, on the best case is that I think we play, like, our schedule, I think we have the easiest schedule for the rest of the season. I could be wrong, but
yeah, like, hardest game is like against the Bucks, and then like the rest of it is like out of the playoff teams for the most part.
I think our last two games of the season, again, I could be wrong, I think it's the Cavs at home and then like at Barclays, and then the Pacers,
which we're would the be three of us are going to that Cavs game too.
Oh, really? That's sick. Yeah. And you might even get to see Jared Allen play.
That's what we were hoping. Back. That's what we're hoping for.
Hold up, Joe. Real quick. Sorry to interrupt. But me and
Anthony
Joe
isn't selling are going his ticket. To the game. Cut it out.
We're selling Anthony's ticket. This is the perfect time to tell everyone. The Nets are 0-3 when Anthony Dittmar is in the arena. So, like, I'm telling you one thing. He ain't sitting with me. I don't know about you, Joe. I'll get a seat somewhere else.
I went to the Philly game because Cody was going to that game, the Philly game at home. And Cody couldn't go, so I took the tickets. We lost that game after kind of playing well the entire game and choked. The Miami game, the same thing. We went up like 10 to 15, then choked. And the Charlotte game, we went up like 10 and then choked. So I watched the same exact game play out three different times.
Yeah, so like I'm not sitting with Anthony. I just wanted to put that out there real quick.
I told everyone yesterday because I had like 15 people come at me saying don't come to the games. Like if they lose in the eighth, I'm not coming to a playoff game. If there is one, but I'm not coming to one. I think it's better for the team that I take one there.
Yeah, and just real quick to feed off of what Christian said, the Nets' remaining opponents have a winning percentage of 42.5%, which is the lowest out of all 30 teams. So they do have the easiest schedule. And then after, for their schedule, after they play, so they play the Pistons on Tuesday, obviously. After on April 2nd, so Saturday, they play in Atlanta. They don't have to leave the city of New York again. They have four more games. Three of them are at home, and the only away game is at Madison Square Garden. So the schedule's there for them to win, maybe go. They have 7 games left, 6-1 if they lose a game to Milwaukee. But I don't know. I think they're still going to avoid that 9 seed, but the strength of schedule is definitely there for them to end the season well, kind of get that momentum. If we could see Ben, like Christian was saying, like the last three or four games, like they're against favorable opponents, letting get used to playing with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, kind of get in that role of playing the small 5 ball at points. And I mean, if it comes down to it, I think you have to throw him into the playoffs. Well, I agree with Christian. It's definitely not ideal at all because his past. But I don't know. I also don't see Nets fans turning on him like the Philadelphia fans did, which I think that played a huge part of it, as opposed to just how he was playing on the court. I think the fans turning against him definitely played a big part of it.
100%. And I was going to get into that. Like, I really think Ben Simmons, like, people want to bring up these stats where, like, he's unplayable in the fourth. I don't remember his stats in the fourth quarter last year in that Atlanta series. But, I mean, he was putting up, like, 2 points, 0 points, like, 1 point. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
But, like, I genuinely do not think that is – possible with the Nets. It's kind of difficult when you can't really — this isn't a nudge on Ben Simmons, but I mean, he can't really shoot, he can't really space the four, and I mean, your team is revolved around a big man that is on the block. Like, what are you supposed to really do? So, I mean, if you have a lineup of what? Kyrie, maybe Goran Dragic. Actually, no, it's kind of small. Maybe Kyrie, like Seth, Durant, maybe Claxton and Ben, like, that's perfect. That's literally perfect for Ben. Even if you want to, depending on the matchup, if you want to run him at the small ball five, like, that's even better for him. And that just makes him even more unstoppable in transition when he has Seth Curry, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie running right alongside him. So, I mean, I do not think it'll be like the Philly situation at all. But at the same time, like, God forbid he does not play well, I feel like it could kind of get in his head. But that's on the Nets fans, and that's on the team's job to, you know, lift him up while he's down. And I think we'll do that. So, I mean, like you said, like, it's not ideal. But if they have to, I definitely would play him. Like, just throw him into fire at the playoffs.
Yeah. And, I mean, we were talking about this on the last episode. We were just saying, like, Bruce Brown has had so much success. Now, just imagine Bruce Brown with, like, 7 more inches on him and insane speed and playmaking ability playing alongside all the guys that we've been playing Bruce alongside. Like, I don't see a world where it doesn't work. I think Ben is just going to thrive. And I really hope that he's able to play very soon.
Right.
100%. And I one player we didn't see last night was LaMarcus Aldridge, even though he was cleared to play and he was active. I know that Joe and Anthony aren't very high on Aldridge, mainly because – Anthony, what did you call him? Like, I know you – some term.
What did you say? A walking statue, yeah.
Yeah, walking statue on defense. So, I mean, most of the NBA now is pick and roll, attack a big, get him switched onto a guard, and let an elite guard beat him, which obviously LaMarcus Aldridge does not thrive in. But I just can't imagine. Like, you put a lineup out there of Kyrie, KD, Seth Curry, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Ben Simmons. I mean, everyone can shoot the ball besides Simmons. So Simmons is right. Almost even playing in the dunker spot. You could have Aldridge running the pick and roll, pick and pop, et cetera, and he's not clogging the paint for Simmons. So, I mean, the Nets exactly. And Steve Nash have a ton of options, and I honestly think that that's going to be their biggest problem, is that Steve Nash has 2 weeks, a week and a half, to figure out what's going to work, and they got to run with it because they're going to have – there is a situation where the Nets have to win one game, and if they lose, they're going home. And then they might have to win another game. If they lose that one, they're going home. That's what it would be like right now if the playoffs started.
Yep.
I don't like that.
So while they have all the talent, like, Steve Nash still has to put everything together and figure out who has to play. There is such a thing of having too much talent. Like, he has to cut this rotation that, when everyone's healthy, realistically goes 10, 11, maybe even 12 deep of good basketball players. He's going to cut it down to 8, maybe 9. Like, who's the odd man out?
I have a star. I'll start. I'll cut James Johnson.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I agree.
He's minutes away.
Yeah, like, even just get him off the team. Like, I'm sorry, but Kessler Edwards, even though he might not play, he has to be on the playoff roster, in my opinion. Like, there's no way he can't be on it.
He's not going to.
100%.
Like, it's just not going.
I'm sorry, but just cut James Johnson. Like, get him out of here. Even in Kessler Edwards' limited minutes last night against Charlotte, like, there was a play. He got an offensive rebound, knocked down a 3. Then he blocked a shot on the other end, and he dunked it on the next possession. Like, that's winning basketball. Like, the Nets, besides Ben Simmons, they don't really have that defensive wing. I mean, obviously, you have Kevin Durant. That's everything. But Kessler Edwards is that guy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, like, I want to convince myself that James Johnson is, like, horrible. But, like, there are – I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't want to gas him up. But there are some games where he actually, like, played a huge role in us, like the Cam Thomas Knicks game.
Yeah.
I mean, he was locking it down on Randall for the entire second half. So, I mean, in the playoffs, I do like, God forbid we have to play James Johnson. I feel like, I mean, at the same time, like, I don't know, because we have our lineup would be what? Kyrie, Seth, Durant, Simmons, then whoever plays the five. Then off the bench, we have Bruce, who is basically James Johnson comes in for, like, when Bruce subs out. So, I mean,
but yeah, that's why we're probably, that's why if Ben is there, James Johnson probably is not playing, because you're running that four spot is basically just Bruce and Ben at that point.
Right.
Or even KD could play the four.
Yeah. And then Ben five, whatever you want to do. But like
James Johnson is a very, 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 very poor man's Ben Simmons, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's the way I take it. Like, when Ben Simmons is playing, there is nothing you need James Johnson on the floor for. Like, he's a big guy, obviously. I think he's an MMA fighter, but
he's 21 and 0 in MMA.
Yeah, that's impressive. Like, maybe if the Nets cut him, you go back to MMA. I don't know.
We'll play Greg Hardy.
Like, he's a bigger body. Like, he can guard pretty much, I wouldn't say 1-5, but 2-5. And, like, so they use him for, like, a Julius Randle matchup. Like, that's a perfect matchup for James Johnson. So, like, I get it in that instance. But, like, last night, you don't need him on the floor at all. Like, why is he playing?
And if you have
Ben Simmons, like, there is nothing that James Johnson does on a basketball court better than Ben Simmons. Not a single thing.
Right.
100%. And, like, whatever James Johnson does that he's useful for, like, Ben Simmons will be doing it at a much better level. Where Kessler Edwards is, like, kind of a different role where he can shoot. And, like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I agree with you guys. I feel like Kess is not going to get converted from the two-way. But in my opinion, I think he should.
That would have had to happen a lot earlier in the season, I think, like, if they really thought that he was going to be playing playoff minutes. But, like, James Johnson last night, like the only thing is, with him, like, if you want to put him on the floor just for, like, a defensive matchup and just be that bigger body, cool. Stop having him handle the ball. Like, why are you running point James Johnson? Like, point James Johnson doesn't work for anybody. I don't understand why they always do that. It pisses me off.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
I kind of got it when, like, they literally didn't have anyone else.
That you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, right, they're both there full time. James Johnson should never be handling the ball and running a set. Like, stop.
I mean, I get that Kyrie likes to play off ball. We kind of saw him thrive next to Harden because he played off ball a lot. But I mean, still, like, there's no need for James Johnson. I don't want to bash a Nets player. I try to not do that unless it's like Javon Carter or someone that, like, I really can't stand. But I don't know, because like Christian said, there's been games where James Johnson definitely contributed to the Nets being competitive and winning the game. Yeah. So, like, but I feel like we haven't seen that in, like, 2 months.
Yeah, he can't do it consistently. I mean, that, like, that's not me. I also think that we should have Kessler Edwards on the playoff roster. But, I mean, I don't think it'll happen, unfortunately. And also, with you bringing up Javon Carter, I'm sorry to change the subject, but I cannot wait for us to play the Bucks, and he is somehow just going to light us up off of the bench. And, like, I can't – it's just – I feel like it's going to happen. It always happens to us with the random players, but he's a former Net, so I feel like it's just even better that it's going to happen with our luck.
I definitely feel like the Nets are cursed, man. Like, like, exactly. It's always a player that's like a 28, 31, 32% shooter that knocks down like 8 threes against the Nets. Like, we saw it with Austin Rivers. I can't even, like, think of everyone that's done it this year. There's been like Bobby Portis. Yeah. Yep.
That game was rough, bro. Just watching Bobby Portis drain like 7 threes or 8 threes against us, I was like, what the hell? How does this happen?
And we somehow beat them that game, right? That was when Kyrie was only playing, right? Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was like Kyrie was a magician that night, but it was just like, yeah, like that, he has to stop eventually. Like, he can't keep getting away with this.
Nice. Exactly.
Even like against the Grizzlies, they knocked down 19 of 38 threes and they only average 11 a game. Like, when we lost that game last night, we saw it again with the Hornets. Cody Martin, that one legged runner, like freaking Dirk from the 3-point line. From the baseline falling out of bounds.
As soon as Caleb or Cody, whichever one it was, made that shot,
yeah,
me and Anthony both stood up in sync and walked out. Like, didn't even say a word, just stood up as soon as it went in and just started walking. We're like, all right, we're done now.
I actually think he's shooting I think it was Ryan Rucco. He said that he might be 40% from three this year, which is like, that is insane. Cody or Caleb, I don't know which one it is. I don't even care. But like, that's honestly pretty crazy. Like, I feel like that's pretty under the radar, but who cares?
All right, guys. So, unfortunately, the Nets played last night. It was, I think we all said it before, it was kind of like a playoff game in a sense, because it was for the series in the season who had the tiebreaker. Kind of the Hornets were only a game back of the Nets. Anthony, Joe, I'll let you guys start. You guys were in the building, so give us your takes on the game before me and Christian kind of chime in.
So, I just want to say before we get into the actual game, during pregame introductions, you could not hear them say Kyrie's name. Like, that building was loud. Like, you couldn't hear anything in there but a bunch of screaming. Like, you couldn't even – and people got, like, a false alarm because they kind of messed up, and they did Seth Curry right before Kyrie. And they said, at guard from Duke, and everybody started flipping out. And then everybody realized they said number 30, and we were like, oh, shit. Then they went into Kyrie, and then it was, like, literally deafening in there. It was awesome. Like, I would pay the price of admission to go to that game again just to experience that another time. But, I mean, me and Anthony were sitting there all night. Like, when we saw that Andre Drummond was the only person doing anything, we were just like, okay, like, this is just not going well. We were up by 10 at one point, like, right before half. And we were just like, man, like, this isn't a real lead. This is going to go away very, very soon. Like, you could just feel it because, like, Kyrie, like, he wasn't hitting his shots. And also, they weren't really doing a good job of getting him the ball. Like, I mean, first play of the game, if Kyrie doesn't touch the ball after that whole introduction, that's just like, that was a mistake. And it took Kyrie a while to settle in. He did do some stuff in the fourth quarter, but it was definitely a very, very ugly, ugly game.
Yeah, we like you said, the atmosphere before the game was unreal. The first half, it was like kind of a weird vibe. It was like a weird pace. I felt like the whole game was just odd. Like, Durant really wasn't like on his game, even though he was playing kind of well. Like, Kyrie obviously was not. Like, no one else was really getting like good offense going. It was kind of like Patty Mills still looks cooked. Like, we didn't see Aldridge, Blake, or Cam Thomas at all. I felt like we should at least use one of those guys for offensive purposes, and we didn't. Second half, it was just ugly. Like, this third quarter, this end of the half, we kind of gave a little run. Got Charlotte back in the game after up double. And the second half was just – third quarter was really bad. LaMelo couldn't miss. And the fourth, we came back. I took the lead for like the three-minute mark. And then just some of those shots that went in, I was just like, how are these going in? Like, it just made no sense. Every time it was a rotation, just felt like it was an open three-point shooter. And I was like,
Yeah, LaMelo was already on fire. And that was with, like, actual, like, guards defending him. And then once we grabbed the lead with, like, 3.5 minutes left – every single time down the floor, LaMelo was able to switch on to Andre Drummond, and he was just torturing him on the perimeter. And it was just like, it was every, and without fail, every single time, it was just like they would do one little set and it would just end up with Andre Drummond guarding LaMelo at the top of the key and nobody even within 15 feet of them. It was just like complete straight ISO, and LaMelo was just killing Andre Drummond the entire, like, last stretch of the game. And obviously, the Cody Martin shot, whoever the fuck it was, that was done for. And then me and Anthony are walking out, and we see like a minute, like then we just see Miles Bridges nail a three in the corner, and it was just like, all right, whatever. This is just a tough scene, but yeah, it was definitely a lot of ugly basketball last night.
Yeah, man. Like, I just want to say that the Nets once again struggled to be a goddamn zone.
Yeah.
Like, it's pathetic. I mean, we saw it. I can't remember what game it was. I tried to wipe it out of my mind.
It was that recently.
Yeah. And it's that just really like, I don't get it, man. Like, it's a, like, they're professional basketball players. And they're not even just like, like the best. And they don't know how to attack a zone. Like, that's what the Hornets played a majority of the second half was his own. And I really felt that LaMarcus Aldridge should have been in the game, personally. They had Drummond or Claxton kind of sitting at the foul line, catching the ball, and, like, they're not attacking the zone. You put Aldridge there, like, that's a layup for him. And I don't know. They just didn't try to do anything different. Granted, they did miss a ton of wide-open threes. They were 7-34 on the game. And, like, it wasn't bad players missing wide-open threes. It was Kyrie. It was Seth Curry. It was Dragic, who was 0-4. Patty Mills' struggles continue. He was 0-3. Durant was 3-11. Irving, 1-9. But they didn't really try anything different until it was too late when Kyrie started getting downhill and getting to the basket. But by that point, I mean, Charlotte caught on fire, and they knocked down, it felt like, five threes in the last minute and a half of the game. And I think it was either Frank Isola or Richard Jefferson. They were like, when you put yourself in that situation, anything can happen. And we saw it with Martin. I don't know which one it was. I think it was Cody Martin.
We really should have just, like, looked up which
one. It was Cody Martin, because I was thinking to myself, God damn it, this guy has the same name as me. But so I know it was Cody Martin. But, like, we saw it with that one-legged runner, and they – I think it was RJ, but I'm not positive. And he was like, that's why the play-in tournament's so scary, because anything can happen. So, I mean, it was frustrating to watch. The Nets gave up a ton of offensive rebounds. I think they gave up 17 offensive rebounds. Like, Charlotte was hot from three. Bad loss. Very bad loss. I'll even say it was the worst loss of the season. I know the Nets got in at 4 a.m. from Miami. Kyrie Irving said he didn't go to bed until 6 o'clock in the morning in the postgame presser. But the Nets were pretty much fully healthy. They blew Miami out the night before. Kyrie, KD, they didn't play in the fourth quarter. So, like, there's really no excuse, in my opinion. Like, you needed this game. Now you lost the tiebreaker. You're the ninth seed. Very bad loss. Like, worst of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, the loss is going to definitely feel it. Now, like you said, we lost 2-3 to Charlotte. So a tie is essentially down one. Like, you know, you don't want to count out the teams losing. So now you're going to have to, like, put the ball in their court as well. You move yourself out of the contention for the sixth and the seventh seed almost. Like, it's almost like guaranteed now, unless you play a perfect season the rest of the way out. And even then, you might still need some help. And it's just, yeah, the 8-9 difference. Like, yeah, the 7-8 sucks because you want home court, but, like, the difference between 8-9 is even worse because, like, you have to win two playing games for both elimination. At least if you're in the 7-8, you win one, you're in. If you lose, you still have another chance. The 9-10, you lose one, you're out. And then if you even win, you still got to win again or you're out. So it's a huge, huge difference.
I'm just saying, the Nets with their team, granted, like we said before, a lot of ups and downs, should not be in a situation where I need to root for the Denver Nuggets to beat the Charlotte Hornets tonight so that we can get out of the 9 seed in the Eastern Conference. Like, that should have never – I don't care what happened. That should never be a thing.
Right. And Christian, like,
yeah,
you should go. What you said before about the adjustments, like Charlotte came out with that zone in the second half, and – that was, you know, the team's tired, you know, the second leg of a back-to-back, they're coming in at what, like you said, 4 a.m., Kyrie went to sleep at 6. Like, they're exhausted. So that's a game for Steve Nash to, you know, out-coach the other team's coach. And it just did not happen. Yeah, yeah. And it just did not happen. Like, they go small on us. I don't remember the exact lineup, but I'm not 100% sure if Miles Bridges was at the five. Some it was either him or PJ Washington. I'm not 100% sure.
It was PJ.
But, like, yeah, and, like, that's a perfect matchup for Nick Claxton. Like, that's literally what he's here for, is to go against smaller teams. We saw it in the Miami game. Like, Andre Drummond is literally getting dunked on every single play by Bam Adebayo in the pick and roll. Like, Nicholas Claxton is just a much better He's a more mobile player, and that's a perfect matchup for him against the Hornets. And, like, we're still watching Andre Drummond in the game struggling, getting switched onto the LaMelo ball. And, you know, it was just automatic every single time. We couldn't get a stop for our lives. And then on the offensive end, like, we got – I mean, I don't want to put anybody on blast, but, like, everybody's just, like, chucking up threes. And then, like, Kyrie starts to get it going because he's taking it to the basket and he's getting within the three-point line. Like, it started to work, and it wasn't really rocket science. Like, everybody just kept trying to shoot these pull-up threes, and it just looked like they were tired. And like you said, with the zone, like, I would have loved to see LaMarcus Aldridge just right at the free throw line, automatic every single time. But, like, it just didn't happen. I think it was a not really good coached game from Nash. That isn't me bashing him. He's a solid coach sometimes. But, I mean, it's sad to say that they look tired in a game with that much significance, but I feel like that's what they looked. I mean, they just did not look good.
I definitely agree.
Like you said about Nick Claxton, like, he only played 15 minutes last night. And I really, like,
really?
He should have played more, especially against that team. Like, Miles Plumlee is playing, I mean, Mason Plumlee is playing with a broken right hand. And that's his dominant hand. And he's trying to put the ball up with his left. And then he's going, and then the other centers are like PJ Washington and Montrezl Harrell. Like, that's a game that Nick Claxton should be in for probably 25 minutes. Like, you know, like, which one is it? Mason. And you guys got me confusing all the names now of all these players. But, like, you know, Mason Plumlee's only going up with his left hand. Like, that's not that hard to guard, if you ask me. Like, if you can't use your other hand. It's pretty simple. Even though he's a bigger body, it's like Nick Claxton has the edge against every center on that team. And, I mean, Drummond did. He played well in the first half, but, like, that second half, he wasn't great, especially on the defensive end. But I feel like even if you subbed in Nick Claxton to take those minutes from him, you're not losing that much, especially given the matchup. So I feel like that was definitely an adjustment that should have been made, and it was just like even a guy like Blake Griffin in that situation – should have gotten some run, because in the last couple games that he's played very well. So,
and what I was going to say was that I feel like, I forget who said it before, but we do have a lot of options on this team. I think it was Cody that said it. And I think we saw it last night where it really played a role on our downfall. And, like, I feel like Steve Nash wants to, I feel like he knows that Andre Drummond, we kind of need him after this season. I mean, we don't need him, but, like, it would be great to have him back. And I feel like he's trying to start him as much as possible and just make him happy. But, like, while I'm watching the game, I'm like, why is Nick Claxton coming off the bench and now he's paired up with Montrezl Harrell, who's, like, a post-up, you know, he's a strong guy. He's not the tallest, but, like, he's a great rebounder. He's basically like 6'8" Andre Drummond. Like,
yeah,
that should have been Andre Drummond paired up with him. But, like, we're seeing Nicholas Claxton, who should have been against Mason Plumlee, who's not, you know, the strongest or the, you know what I mean? He's not the best in the post. Like, I feel like it was just 2+2 that it was a better that Claxton should have started. But, I think there's definitely a problem where Nash feels pressured to make everybody happy. And we saw that last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, there's no adjustments. Like, why are you having KD bring the ball? If you're not going to put Aldridge in the game, have KD sit at the foul line. He'll absolutely torch the zone. Like,
yeah,
dude, exactly. Make an adjustment to get them out of the zone. Like, the Nets couldn't beat it. Granted, like I said, they were missing pretty much wide open threes. So, like, there was threes with, like, Patty Mills, who's been really struggling, even Seth Curry, where there wasn't a defender within, like, 3 feet of them. And, I mean, good shooters usually knock it down, but they simply weren't falling. And they just didn't make any adjustments. And it's really frustrating. But real quick on the Andre Drummond thing that Christian was just saying, he made the comment when they were asked about the Nets keeping Claxton or whatever. He was like, yeah, you don't know what the future holds. Like, I'm just here for the end of the season.
It got taken out of context by a couple of outlets. Legion Hoops tweeted something about it, and Drummond quote tweeted it and said, "Weirdo vibes. I used to respect your page, but you are no longer credible." Trying to capitalize on false info, and he threw up the famous peace sign that he gave the Miami Heat. And then Drummond posted on his Instagram story, for you weirdos posting articles saying I won't resign. Let's be clear, I didn't say that. All I said was, if we were being honest, I'm here for the rest of the season, and I don't know what the summer will bring. I can only control what's happening right now. Thank you. On that note, Nets world. So, I mean, this isn't Hornets related at all, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility of Drummond coming back just yet. I think he's definitely enjoying his time in Brooklyn. He seems to be very happy. Every single picture that's captured of him, video, like, the man's always laughing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't shut that door yet. But like you said, Nash has a big that can do everything. He's got one that can play small in Griffin. He's got one that's a traditional five in Drummond. He's got one that's a knockdown mid-range shooter in Aldridge. And then he's got the quicker athletic Nick Claxton. And like, what's the point of having that group, which I feel like is honestly the Nets' strongest position at center if it's used right, but he doesn't make the adjustments based on in-game matchups or even per team matchups.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
You hit Claxton, it right on the head.
Claxton's like the guy when you play against a guard like LaMelo Ball that's isolating or getting pick and roll and switching onto your center, like you want Claxton on. When you play against a slower team like Miami, although Bam was kind of doing this thing, but like you're not too concerned about like a Kyle Lowry isolating someone. Like he's not going by you. Or even we saw it against Philly with James Harden. Like, I don't want to keep going back to Harden, but like he wasn't going by anyone. Like Kyrie was sticking with him. Like you played Drummond in that matchup. But I don't know, man. Like if you're not going to use it, what the hell is the point of having it?
And that was the big thing on Nets Twitter last year. It's like anytime Claxton was in the game, they'd try to switch him onto a guard and Claxton would lock him up on the perimeter. And then blah, blah, blah has failed the Nick Claxton test. That was all over the place. But it's just like, it just doesn't happen anymore because Nash hasn't made the adjustment against. And that's all the games that we've been getting beat bad. And like the ugly losses is when we refuse to make the adjustment. And like a ball dominant point guard is usually the kind of guy that leads teams past wins against us. Like that's really what happens the majority of the time. It's just like we need to see more Nick Claxton tests is what the verdict is.
It's the Nets struggle with young athletic teams with a good point guard.
Yeah.
We saw it against Dallas. Memphis was just a different story, but we've seen it against Memphis twice now. We saw it against the Hornets. We saw it against the Warriors with Curry and then all those young guards around them, Poole, Wiggins, etc. It's almost like the Nets are like better off against the teams in the top of the East because they don't really – they're not constructed that way.
Yeah.
But when you play like the other teams, like – I'm going to be honest. If the Nets had to play Atlanta in a 9-10 game, I'm scared for my life because that's just a horrible matchup in my opinion. I'm not saying Atlanta has a better players or a better team, and I would still pick the Nets to win. But can you imagine what like Trae Young, Capella, like John Collins, like that just scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, that definitely is scary. But Steve Nash broke Trae Young the last time that we encountered them. So we got to see what happens again
when he was like, "That's not basketball."
Yeah, and then Trae Young, and then like the refs started actually noticing, and then Trae Young struggled for like a month after that.
something I noticed when that I really like that Nash did when we first made the trade to bring in Curry, Drummond, and Simmons is that he brought Claxton and Aldridge both off the bench at the same time. And I'm not like, I kind of liked it. Like, I don't think Claxton is really he's huge, not huge, but like he's tall, but like he's not really a big man. Like he's super fast for his size. So, I mean, he could, if you have to, he could guard him. Like, we've seen him guard the other team's ball handler. There were points last year. I mean, I don't know if it was in the playoffs, maybe the regular season, but there was points last year where we saw him guarding Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't think that it would limit, you know, our pace or spacing. I think that's I honestly like that from Nash. So, I mean, he hasn't tested it out because Aldridge has been injured and it wasn't really the best matchup last night to test it out. But, I mean, I would love to see it in the future, at least before the playoffs start.
Christian, 27th, when was that? Yesterday. I knew Aldridge was going to be back. I tweeted out, like, Claxton better not get taken out of the rotation tonight. Aldridge and Claxton can share the floor together. And they didn't. And it wasn't Claxton that was taken out.
You cursed LaMarcus Aldridge, and now he's out of the rotation. Great job, Cody.
But, like Christian was saying, like, they're the perfect combo to share the floor together.
Yeah, they really are.
It's kind of like back to what I was saying before with Aldridge and Simmons. Like, Claxton can kind of play the Simmons role on defense. I mean, not to that extreme. He's not as quick, agile, et cetera. And he could be in the dunker spot where Aldridge can be more of like the pick and pop, like, and shoot the ball. You put him on the worst defensive, like, worst offensive player on defense, so he's not getting switched onto like LaMelo Ball too often. I don't know. It's just like, if you're not going to make the adjustments, like, what's the point of having him? But anything else you guys want to touch on for the game? Sorry, Christian.
The best part about bringing in Claxton and Aldridge at the same time, and I don't want to bash a specific player, but I'm going to right here, is that James Johnson would probably be out of the rotation completely.
Yes,
if that happened.
Do it.
So
more.
I mean, it's like a two wins in one, you know.
Yeah, I never want to see point James Johnson again in my life.
That was actually a lot of the replies under my tweet was, yes, this means no more James Johnson. Please do it. I saw probably 5 to 10 people that all said the same thing. So
James Johnson hate is like approaching Javon Carter TLC levels. Like,
I think I posted that on my Instagram in my caption. I was like, James Johnson is TLC tier.
Yeah.
he's really on the cusp.
Like, man. That's somebody's got to tell Joe Tsai.
But anything else you want to talk about the game last night before we go into, like, a standings, potential matchup discussion?
No, not with the game. I'm glad it's over. That's what,
yeah. That's on to the next.
I'm glad I didn't go, personally.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't make the five and a half hour round trip because I almost did, but I am glad I didn't. But I mean, it would have been cool to see the Kyrie stuff, even though he didn't play very well. But let's move on. Standings. So top four are all within a half game of each other. And the bottom three that are going to make the playoffs are all within a game and a half of each other. So it's still tight pretty much throughout the entire conference. I mean, the Bulls and the Raptors are only – Bulls, Raptors, and Cavs are kind of that middle tier, and they're only two games apart. So, like, it's very tight in groups in the East, so it's very hard to predict a matchup for the Nets. But let's just kind of talk. Let's assume it's Cavs, Hornets, Nets, and Hawks in that play-in tournament. I guess out of those teams, who scares you the most for the Nets to play against? I mean, they're all pretty young, pretty athletic. So, like, they kind of all, and that's honestly, kryptonite. In a one-game scenario, they kind of scare the hell out of me in general. But, Christian, let's start with you. Out of those three, which one scares you the most in a matchup with the Nets? Let's assume it's a one-game elimination game.
Oh, man. Honestly, one-game elimination. Probably the Hawks. I can't lie. I mean, I think they have the best player out of all those teams in Trae Young. And like we were saying before, it's a horrible matchup in terms of the pace they play at. I mean, we've seen the Nets beat the Hawks. I don't think we've lost them this season. So, I mean, we've played well against them, but we saw it last year. I mean, they pretty much have the same exact roster that they had last year when they went on that playoff run. And, I mean, at any point, they can just flip the switch and turn into that same team. So, I mean, they bring something that the Hornets and Cavs don't have, which is that playoff experience. I mean, the Hornets made the play-in last year, but they didn't win it. So did they win it? No, they lost, right? Yeah,
they lost.
So and with the Cavs, I mean, they're just going to be getting back Jared Allen. They're kind of like us in a sense, where like maybe we'll get Ben Simmons back and we kind of have to figure things out on the fly. So I mean, it would honestly, for me, it would probably go Hawks, Hornets, Cavs as to who I fear the most, if you want to use that word.
Just kind of to little point, I mean, the Hornets and the Hawks, they can score the ball. Like, their issue is defense, and I mean, that's kind of the Nets issue as well. Like, those two, any of those three teams can just get hot from three, and like, you're not going to beat them. And that could be a game where it's like, who gets to 135 first? And I mean, I know the Nets have a superpower, but like, if you're missing shots, like, you shoot 20% from three, like the Nets did in a single elimination game, like, it's going to be hard to beat one of those teams. If you do it against the Cavs, like, maybe you can get away with it because they don't score at that same level. But right. I don't know. That's just my thought. Anthony, Joe, which one do you want to go next?
I'll go. All right. Personally, I'd probably go Hawks one, just like you said, Trae Young could score like at ease, and like defensively, we don't have the best matchups for him. So probably go him one, like the Hawks. Two, I'm gonna go Hornets two, then Cavs three the same way. I think I would probably have said Cavs and Hornets reverse, but yesterday, like watching LaMelo Ball kind of exploit some matchups and Terry Rozier, I feel as if that they could be a little more deadly to the Nets, especially against instead of the Cavs. I don't know what Jared Allen's status is going down. Like, I know he's like out indefinitely. I don't know if he's gonna be ready to make the playoffs. They'd be playing the playoffs. That may change things a bit. But I feel like we can keep up with the Cavs team like that, where I feel like the Hornets can get like hot and we can fall behind quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely no doubt gonna say the Hawks are one. Just because like we were saying before, they have Trae Young, who's obviously amazing, and then they have Clint Capella and John Collins, and then they just have shooters everywhere. They have Kevin Herter, they have Bogdanovich, they have Gallinari, they have guys all over the place that can just light you up, and you never know which one it's going to be. So for that reason, the Hawks are definitely going to be one. I'm going to say the Cavs two and the Hornets three. I mean, I know that we just lost to the Hornets last night, but I'm definitely more scared of the Cavs because they, I mean, like Evan Mobley, like I don't know how you guard that guy. And like you still, then they have Darius Garland. And if Jared Allen's playing, we know firsthand how deadly Jared Allen can be on the defensive end. And then now they have Caris LeVert as well. And we also know firsthand how good he is. So it's just like, that's another situation like Christian was saying earlier with Javon Carter possibly going off in a game against us. Like we could get caught up in two revenge games at once in a play-in. And I would not want to have any part of that. So I'll probably put Cavs two and Hornets three.
Honestly, you guys bring up a good point with like, it kind of made me think with how the Hornets played last night. And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking like how consistent, like they can play to that level. They can easily let you up. They have Terry Rozier who can turn into the next coming of Michael Jordan. Same with Miles Bridges. LaMelo Ball could be the next coming of Magic Johnson any game. So like, with that, though, I feel like last night we kind of saw, you know, like the best of them. I don't really think they could play much better than how they played last night. And I don't think things could have gone really worse than how they did for us last night in terms of offense and defense. So, yes. I mean, I kind of want to change my answer. It might go one Hawks, two Cavs, and then three Hornets, only because I really think we saw the Hornets' best product last night, and, you know, they barely beat us. So,
yeah, they needed a lot of lucky shots, too, with them to beat us. And Kyrie was, what, like 4-for-17 or something like that? That's not going to happen very often.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Christian brings up a good point. I mean, honestly, I would pick the Nets when it beat any of them, obviously. But I think they all present their challenges to the Nets. I think the Hornets did a great job exploiting kind of the Nets' smaller guards on the block last night, whether it was Bridges or Washington, et cetera. They kind of did that, and then they knocked down a ton of threes. But like Christian said, I don't really think the Hornets could play a much better offensive game than they did. Like, you're not really going to shoot 53% from three very often, hopefully. So – I mean, the Nets also, we kind of missed it, but they shot 65% from the field or from the free throw line. They went 17-26, which is atrocious. Jeez. Majority of it was Drummond. He went 6-11. But
a lot went bad for the Nets last night, and a lot went well for the Hornets. And the Nets were only down, or they were tied with like 4 minutes left in the game. So, yeah. I mean, I would probably go Hawks, Cavs, Hornets if I had to make a list. But I think you throw Ben Simmons in there, you're blowing out any three of those teams. Yeah, but totally. The bottom, or I guess, yeah, it's not really the bottom, but that 6-10 slot in the East, throw the Raptors in there, which would be my number one team I wouldn't want to play, of course. But
yeah,
they're all young.
You don't want to go to Toronto.
Right. They're all young and like athletic, and they're just going to keep getting better and better. Like, they're not going to get any worse. The East is no cakewalk anymore. And that's just the bottom. But now let's jump to the top. So we got Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, and Philly. Let's say the Nets get out of the play-in tournament, which had someone knock on the wood for me, and they draw one of those teams at the top. Let's just do quick. Which one would you most want to play? Anthony, you can start.
Rob Williams now out for the season. So I'm leaning the Celtics, to be honest. I know they've been playing really well lately, but I just think we could out-talent them personally. Maybe it'll be a little biased, but that's my personal feeling.
Okay. Joe?
You said 1-4?
Yeah, oh, that's not the Bulls.
Oh, they said most. Yeah. Well, did you want me to rank all four of them?
No, just who would you want to have the Nets play the most?
Yeah, go Celtics.
Celtics?
Joe? I want the 76ers.
All right. I think I know your reasoning. You don't have to say that. Christian?
I might have to agree with Joe. I think I want the 76ers too.
Okay.
I feel like we can beat them easily too. That's my thing.
I think you can beat them, but I think they would be my second. I'm going with the Heat. I think they're slow. They're old. And I just think the Nets match up well against them. I think the 76ers, Joel Embiid, still kind of scares me in a 7-game series.
Don't let anyone else do it.
I guess. I just feel like Miami doesn't have that same level player. I feel like they're all kind of a little overrated, in my opinion. Yeah. I think Jimmy, Kyle Lowry, I mean, Bam's great, but I think they're pretty much overrated, and they're going way downhill. So we'll see. But anything else you guys want to talk about real quick?
I want to get Christian's opinion on a potential offseason move. Do you think Joe Harris is a Net by the start of next season with his $18 million salary and all the free agents we have?
It's tough, honest. I mean, I would love for him to be on the roster. I think the best way they could handle it is keep him, then see what you – if he's not performing well, you can kind of see what you could get for him if you can't really – get much for him at the deadline, then you got to keep him and hope, pray to God. I mean, I don't really think the ankle will kind of affect his shot. It's not like he was super athletic. He's strictly there to shoot. So, I mean, I don't really think it'll affect how good he is. I feel like most Nets fans are quick to forget how elite he is at shooting because of the Bucks series last year. But I mean, he really is a significant part, amazing for us right now in a time where Patty Mills is really struggling. So, and also with Ben Simmons, I mean, it's we can bring him back, which would be great. I mean, if we could bring Bruce and Claxton back and it comes at the cost of keeping Joe, I mean, sorry. And if we also keep Joe and it comes at the cost of Andre Drummond leaving us because of money. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would probably take that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad. I'm like torn on it though. I know how player Joe Harris is, but like if you have Seth Curry for an $8 million price tag, are able to keep like say LaMarcus could retire this offseason, you know, like then you just keep Drummond, Clax, and Bruce, and Seth, and like get something back for Joe. Like, it might strengthen the team, but I know how important Joe Harris is. He's one of the last. He is the last like baby Net left.
So. Yeah, it's It's a tough situation because, I mean, if we win the championship without him this year, then trade him and bring everybody back that you possibly can. But, I mean, if it all spirals out of control, then I think we'll really be able to determine that after the playoffs, depending on, you know, how Drummond plays and how much we use Bruce with Ben coming back. Like, so, I mean, it'll get figured out. I feel like we'll have the clear answer in a few months.
And I believe the max for both Bruce and Claxton is like 4 years, $38 million, I believe, for both of them, because I think they were both second round rookies, like on rookie deals. So I think that's the max for both of them. Bruce might be a little different because he signed the qualifying offer. I'm not 100% sure, but I know for a fact Clax is like 4 for 38 or 4 for 39, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that honestly wouldn't be – I would sign him for that in a second, honestly. I mean, it's a pretty solid deal in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Before we end, real quick, Joe, Anthony, we got to make our picks for the Pistons game. Joe, you're still first. So, Nets hosting Detroit. Who's winning?
It's like – I don't know. It's like we're playing 3 games in 4 days. So it's like I don't know. I'll take a win just for the hell of it. I think there's a solid chance that we may end up choking that one though.
All right, I gotta catch you. I'm running out of time, so pain to say it, but I'm gonna take a loss.
A win,
Anthony. A win. Anthony's
gonna win. Okay.
We're going with a win.
All right, so Christian's taking a win. Also, there we go. Yeah, so Christian, we've been tallying, like we predict the outcome of games ever since like midway through the season. And like I was picking a loss throughout that like entire losing streak. So like I gained a lot of ground on them and they're trying to catch me now.
Oh, smart. But all right, anything else? Do you think we're good here, guys?
I think we're all good.
I think that's it.
All right. Christian, big thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. If you don't already follow him, check him out on Instagram, Nets Reports.
He has the Twitter also, right?
True, yeah, true.
Yep.
Is it the same username?
Yeah. Yep.
So follow him, Twitter, Instagram. Knows his stuff. Good take on Nets basketball. Once again, this was the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Anthony, Joe, and Cody, joined by Christian McKenna from Nets Report. Thank you for listening. Please like, comment, subscribe, interact with us. It's what we do it for. And let's get out of that 9th seed and let's go Nets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.